Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara will start from the fifth line from the top of Lamed Dalet. You will notice a diamond there. This diamond is accompanied also by a number 4 in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. In effect, we're in the middle of a series, actually at the conclusion of a series, of responses to a question that arose on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. There we had learned the Mishnah, which mentioned the slaughtering of an animal in which no blood emerged. The Mishnah mentioned that as a result of that, the meat was not mukhshir lekabel tuma, was not made susceptible for absorbing tuma, and therefore it can be consumed with yodayim misuavos, with tomei hands. This left us to think that, well, if there had been blood, then one would be restricted from eating the meat with tomei hands. The question then arose, why is there any problem in the first place? After all, we are dealing with chulin, as the Gemara proved on Daf Lamed Gimel, and in the realm of chulin, as opposed to kochim, chulin being the realm of the mundane, the common, there is no restriction with regard to impure hands and their contact with the meat and subsequent eating. So why does the Mishnah imply that there is a problem? We had, till this point, three responses or approaches to that. We continue in our Gemara here. Omar Ula, Chavraya Amrin. Chavraya is a reference to the other rabbis or colleagues. Later in the Gemara, we will be specifying that who is really Chavraya. The Gemara will say that is a reference to Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So Chavraya says, Bechulin shinasu al taras hakodesh, that the reason that hands that are tomei will pose a problem is that we're dealing with the mundane chulin that's treated with the high level stringency afforded to kochim food, specifically sacrificial meat. In other words, we have someone who is treating his chulin as if it were kochim. Well, as far as kochim are concerned, impure hands definitely poses a problem. Now, this approach that one can treat his chulin as if it were kochim is udolo k'Rabbi Yeshua. That is not in conformity to Rabbi Yeshua's approach to this matter. That's as far as Chavraya's opinion. But Ula says, v'ano amino, but I say, this is Ula, and we've assigned this as number 4 because this is the, as far as approaches are concerned, this we can call Ula's approach, is saying that this is Rabbi Yeshua. In fact, our Mishnah does conform to Rabbi Yeshua. Now, we have known Rabbi Yeshua to have made reference to Chulin Shinasu Al Taras Truma. This we have seen in our previous Shiur. Chulin treated with a Truma standard. Truma is the tithe given to Kohanim, and it too has a higher standard in terms of purity, Tuma and Tara, higher standard of areas of purity than we apply to the Chulin, the mundane. Not as high a standard, though, as one would apply to Kachim. So Ula says that Rabbi Yeshua will, in fact, agree that there is a concept of Chulin Shinasu Altaras HaKodesh Velo Mibaya Ka'omar. Notice we have a star that indicates that one should look back to Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So if you notice at the lower part of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Yeshua appeared in a Tanaic source, and the star appears 3 lines from the bottom over there. Under Rabbi Yeshua's name, the comment was made that there is such a thing as Chulin Shinasu Al Taras Truma. at that point in the Gemara, there was a diuk that was made, an inference that was made, that the concept of chulin being treated with a higher level of purity applies only to the truma standard and not to kachin. At this point, the Gemara is Ula is responding to that and says that Rabbi Yeshua's comment is not to the exclusion of chulin shenasu al taras kodesh, but rather lo mibaya ka'omar. It's in the lo mibaya fashion, meaning I don't have to tell you as follows. Now the Gemara explains lo mibaya chulin shenasu al taras kodesh the chamiri the is behushlishi. I don't have to tell you about the existence of chulin shenas al taras kodesh that has in it the possibility of reaching a shlishi level of tuma, and that would be able to communicate a revi'i level. Elo afilu chulin shenasu al taras truma nami is behu shlishi. Even chulin that's treated with a truma standard could reach the shlishi level of tuma. The source on Lama Gimel Amud Beis, if you notice three lines from the bottom, it mentioned that the chulin there is could reach a that one who eats shlishi, he himself becomes the person who eats it becomes a sheni with regard to kodesh, but not with regard to truma. So, what kind of shlishi level food was he eating? So the source there made reference to chulin shenasu al taras truma. Ula is telling us that the shlishi level of food there is not only chulin shenasu al taras truma, but it could be chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh as well. And the fact that it emphasized there chulin shenasu al taras truma is because of this lo mibaya structure. Namely, I don't have to tell you about chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh that it can reach a shlishi level of tuma, but even chulin shenasu al taras truma, and that's why the source emphasized the case of al taras truma, because that was, we'll say, less obvious than the case of chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, but even chulin shenasu al taras truma also can reach a shlishi level of tuma. If one is finding this difficult, one should make reference to the end of our previous shiur, because this is really a continuation of the discussion that we had had over there. Continuing in our Gemara, Man Chavraya, we have a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, which should be paralleled with the arrow a few lines up, pointing to the line where Chavraya appeared. Who is this Chavraya that Ula mentioned? Answer, Rabo Barbachana hi. This is Rabbi Barbachana, who described Rabbi Yeshua as holding that chulin can be treated only with the Taras Truma standard and not with the Taras HaKodesh standard. So it's pointed out that Chavraya is a reference to Rabbi Barbachana, the Omar Rabbi Barbachana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, my Ahadri Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Lahadodi. What are the details of their discussion in terms of what was the give and take between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? This, of course, once again, is a reference to the Tanaic source that we had seen on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where Rabbi Eliezer had mentioned the idea that you are what you eat. Rabbi Yeshua had a totally different approach that can be referenced back by looking at Lamed Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom. Maybe for greater efficiency, let us ourselves read the source and thereby use it as a jumping off point for the ensuing Gemara discussion. Before getting into the Gemara itself, we should point out a marking. You'll notice a dashed frame that's placed along around the Gemara from this point on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph till the top of Amud Beis. The reason for this frame is that which is presented within it is not a formal Tanaic source. However, it does represent Rabbi Barbachana's presentation of a Tanaic discussion. In other words, it's the Tanaic discussion as he understood it to have taken place. Hence, we have a frame around this entire section. indicating its Tanaic nature. But as we said, it's not a formal source per se. It's a presentation of an amora as to what the Tanaic discussion would have looked like. But as we said, before getting into their give and take, the Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua, let's see what they originally said by glancing back at Lamed Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom. We're going to read the source that lasts for five lines that appears there in the frame. Rebbe Elazar Omer, he says, that Ho'ochel, Ochel Rishon, Rishon, a person who eats food that is a Rishon level of Tumah, the person himself becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. We have pointed out in the past, and it's never a waste of time to say it again, that these are dinim derabonan. Generally speaking, on a Torah level, food does not metame a person. However, on a rabbinic level, we say that the food that one eats does affect him, if we're talking about tomei food. Rabbi Lesser goes on to say, sheni, if one eats sheni level tuma food, he equals sheni. He becomes himself a sheni. Shlishi, shlishi. If one eats shlishi level food, then he becomes a shlishi level of tumah. As one probably knows, these different levels of tumah have effects when it comes to touching and or eating certain kinds of foods. Certain kinds of foods meaning there's chulin foods, truma foods, and kochim foods. Chulin, generally speaking, is not affected by something that's a sheni l'tumah. Truma is. However, truma itself would not be affected by a shlishi l'tuma, with some qualification that we'll see later in our discussion. And along the same lines, kochim foods would not be, sacrifices would not be affected by something that's a revi'i level of tuma. Continuing in the source from Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Ho'echel Ochel Rishon v'sheni sheni, a person who eats food that's a Rishon level of tuma and a sheni level of tuma, the result is that the person himself becomes a sheni. Shlishi, if a person eats shlishi level tuma food, he becomes a sheni l'kodesh. He is viewed, and it goes up a level, which is very unusual, but he goes up a level only with respect to sacrifices, sacrificial meat. V'ein sheni l'truma. We say sacrificial meat, we really mean the whole realm of sacrifices, because one should include as well the menachos as well, meal offerings. V'ein sheni l'truma. However, by eating shlishi level food, he does not become a sheni with regard to his contact with truma. And this is all said within the realm of what kind of food was he eating when we spoke about him eating first, second, or third level foods. Bechulin shinasu al taras truma. We're talking about chulin that is treated with a truma standard. Now, Rabbo Bar Chana mentioned that this concept of chulin shinasu al taras truma is in fact only with regard to Taras Truma and not with regard to Taras Kodesh. Such a thing, according to Rabbi Ochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, does not exist. Now, we continue with Rabbi Bar Chana's presentation of what discussion took place between those two Tanoim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Omer lo, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. Motzinu ochel chomor min ha'ochel. Once again, Masinu Ochel, Chomor Min HaOchel. We have found people to be more stringent, if you will, than food. An illustration of that, De'ilu Nevelas Oif Tahor. This is food. This is the meat from a kosher variety bird that dropped dead. That's an Nevela. The meat from that, that's the food, Bachutz Lo Metame. If it comes into contact with other food items, it does not communicate tuma. Vilu ochla, but a person who eats this, who swallows nevelas of tor, he communicates tuma mitame begodem abes ablia. Abes ablia means upon swallowing. Upon his swallowing nevelas of tor, he communicates tuma to the clothing that he is wearing. So we see that a person there is a precedent, let us say, for a person being on a higher level of tuma than the food in question. The anu hech lo nase ochel kamaichol. How is it then that we should not be able to make at least a person on the same level of the food? In theory, we could make a person on a higher level than the food, but we should at least make a person on the same level of the food, not like you say. Rabbi Yeshua said that a person actually drops a level below the food. Rabbi Yeshua had mentioned that a person who eats a rishon, he himself becomes a sheni. But if anything, says Rabbi Lezer, we have found people to be on a higher level of severity than the food, not dropping down a level. Therefore, if anything, the person should, if you're not going to say go up, so at least the person should be on the same level of the food. And hence Rabbi Lezer came to his conclusion that if a person eats a rishon, he himself will become a rishon. I would like to say become at least a rishon, but we'll say he becomes a rishon. If a person eats a sheni, he becomes a sheni. Rabbi Yeshua, what's his response? He says, "Min neveilas of Torah lo gamrinon." We are not to learn from the neveilas of Torah. That cannot serve as a precedent for developing any halachic scheme. The chidush hu, the realm of neveilas of Torah, is a novel idea. It doesn't conform to other areas of halacha. And what is the novel aspect of it? Its novelty is that it does not communicate tumah when it's in the open, when it's exposed. Ironically, the only time it communicates tumah is while one is swallowing it. Swallowing takes place at a point in one's body that's called beis hastorim, a hidden part. Generally speaking, tumah is not communicated through contact with hidden parts of one's body. That's tumah's beis hastorim. And yet, in this case, it does. So that element of the neveilas of Torah shows that it is a chidush, and hence we cannot learn from it. Elo, Rabbi Yeshua goes on to say, Motzinu shehamaychol chomur min ha'ochel. We have found food to be considered more severe than the one eating it. Deilu maychol bekebetza. Food communicates tumah. If you have an egg quantity worth of tumah food, it is capable of passing tumah onto something else that touches it. The ocheil, however, the person ad the ochel kechatzi pras. A person does not derive or absorb tumah from tumah food until he eats a chatzi pras, literally a half a loaf of tumah food. We are not going to get into the details of chatzi pras right now, other than to point out that it's a much larger quantity than a kebetz, an egg quantity of food. So that a person does not absorb tumah from food unless he eats a chatzi pras, whereas food is capable of communicating tumah at a shiur of a quantity of just a kebetza. When we say food communicating tumah, not to the person, but food communicating tumah to other food. As far as the ability of communicating tumah to a person, you would need a much larger quantity. Hence we say that a person is considered a lower level, a less severe level than food. And as a result of that, v'yonu hech nase ochel kema'achol. How in the world then could I possibly agree with you that parallels person to food? We see that food is more severe, and therefore when it comes to a person coming into contact with the food, in case contact mean we mean eating the food, the person will drop down a level. V'rebelozer, his response to what Rabbi Yeshua just said is, tuma mishiurin lo gamrinan. Tumah status from issues of quantity we do not derive. Quantity is one realm, and tumah status is another realm. As Rashi says, the shiurin milsabap einafshihi. Shiurin is a function of a separate standard altogether, and not a function of stringency and leniency. V'oid, and Rabbi Lezer continues arguing, l'dvorecha, according to you, that you say that food is more stringent, l'dvorecha sha'ata omer al rishon sheni yofeata omer, that which you say that one who eats food, that is a rishon, the person becomes a sheni. Let's read that line again where he said, sha'ata omer al rishon sheni, a person who eats food, that's a rishon, the person drops down to a sheni level, yofeata omer, that I can understand. I can understand that according to your own logic that puts food on a higher plateau than the person. However, I don't understand what you are saying, sheni, sheni lama, sheni, one who eats second level food becomes himself a sheni according to your standard, you, Rabbi Yeshua, I don't understand what you're saying. This comment of sheni, sheni is referred back to Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. You see a double star that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text here. If you glance back, on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, lower part of the page, you will also see a double star. At the end of that line, you can see where Sheni food was mentioned, and the person himself becomes a Sheni. This is hard to understand, says Rabbi Lezer, according to you, Rabbi Yoshua. Omar Loi, so Rabbi Yoshua answers, if that troubles you, that a person who eats a Sheni becomes a Sheni, I'll show you my precedent for that. Omar Lo, Motsinu Sha Sheni, Oise Sheni, Al Yedei Mashkin. That would mean, if you have, let us say, a food item that's a Sheni Lutuma, and it contacts, a wet apple, a wet food item. The Sheni food, the initial Sheni food, when it contacts the water on the apple, the water itself becomes a Rishon, and the water then makes the apple that is wet. As a result of this water, the apple becomes a Sheni. So that's what's meant by, we found Sheni making Sheni. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, I argue that a Sheni food that's consumed by a person, the person also becomes a Sheni. Omar Loi, so Rabbi Lezer says, well, if we analyze exactly what you just said, v'hamashkinami rishon havu, according to what you just said, the mashkin that came into contact with the sheni, the mashkin shoots up to becoming a rishon, a higher level of tuma intensity. And if that be the case of the person that ate sheni, according to your reasoning, the person should become a rishon, but you don't say that. Disnan, where do we see this idea of mashkin becoming a rishon? It says as follows, koha poisel betruma, anything that ruins truma, and that means sheni lituma, because when we talk about truma becoming pasel, it is shenis that pasel truma. So anything that pasels truma, metame mashkin lios tchila, makes the liquids to become, a tchila means a rishon lituma. So that, taking an example close to home, Tomei hands are a sheni lituma. Tomei hands, the touch liquid, that will make the liquid a rishon lituma. Chutz mi tful yom, there is an exception, and that is a tful yom, which though pasels truma, a tful yom is a person who had been tomei and immersed himself in a mikveh in anticipation of sundown. That person, after going into the mikveh, he's called a tevul yom. He is classified as a sheni level of tumah, but he is an exception to the rule, namely that his contact with liquid will not make the liquid a rishon. But in the meantime, Rebbe Lozer is taking Rebbe Yeshua's argument and questioning him and saying that if you're coming to a conclusion that sheni becomes a sheni through mashkin, but the sheni itself makes the mashkin a rishon, so the person who eats a sheni should also become a rishon. The oid, and furthermore, shlishi sheni lama, that one who eats shlishi level of tuma food, the person becomes a sheni. Where do you get that from? Where is there a precedent for that? That namely, once again, by eating shlishi, that we see a shlishi makes a sheni. Omar Loi, Rabbi Yeshua says, as far as that objection is concerned, Afani lo amarti elo betruma. I said this idea only within the realm of truma. Shetarosa tuma hi etzel hakodesh. We should point out that Rabbi Yeshua's comment back on Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, he said that one who eats a shlishi, he becomes a sheni. But he did limit that to becoming a sheni with regard to kachim. Namely, if a person ate shlishi level food, he becomes a sheni with regard to korbanos. That means if he would have eaten a sheni, he becomes, if he would have eaten shlishi-level food, he becomes a sheni with regard to sacrifices, and his contact then with a sacrifice would make the new sacrifice a shlishi, and that in turn could make another sacrifice a revi'i. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying that I did not say this point across the boards, that one who eats a shlishi becomes a sheni with regard to everything. I said it with regard to kachim, and my comment was made only with regard to eating shlishi truma. Shlishi truma is it's, let's say, it's tahara, the tahara that we afford to truma, namely when we say someone is careful with regard to truma, his carefulness with regard to truma is not sufficient with regard to kachim. In other words, if a person has, let us say, truma that he feels is tahar, if it contacts sacrificial meat, it will make the sacrificial meat tamei. That's what is meant by truma shetaharasa, that which we think is tahar with regard to truma, tuma he eitzel kodesh, is viewed as tamei with regard to kodesh. Omar Rebbe Zera, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan, Omar Rav Yanai. There are a lot of names in this list. We've highlighted only certain names in the markings. Ha'ochel shlishi shel chulin shinasu al taras ha'kodesh. A person who eats chulin, which is treated with a kachim standard, and that chulin happened to be a shlishi latuma. Let us say it came into contact with some sheni tomei food. So this chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh, chulin that had been treated with a sacrifice standard. So one who ate it, food that's a shlishi, nase gufo sheni lekodesh, he becomes a second level tuma with regard to his further contact with regard to sacrifices. Eisvei Rabbi Zera Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Zera challenges Rabbi Asi by quoting the following source. This is actually familiar to us. This is, in effect, what Rabbi Yeshua had said at the bottom of Lama Gimel Amit Beis. It says, Shlishi, one who eats food that's a Shlishi, Sheni Lekodesh, the person becomes a Sheni Lekodesh, and Sheni Letruma, but not a Sheni with regard to his contact with Truma. And all of this applies, Bechulin Shinasu Altaras Truma. This applies to Chulin that was a Shlishi level, but what kind of Chulin? Chulin that was treated with a Truma standard. Altaras Truma in Altaras HaKodesh Loi. This whole concept of a Shlishi, Chulin Shlishi becoming a problem only applies to the realm of Tara of Chulin treated with Taras Truma. Not like Rav Asi or Rav Yochanan said that it refers to Chulin that's treated with a Kodesh standard. Omar Le, Rav Asi responds to Rabbi Zeros Kasha and says, You got it all wrong. He says, Lo mi bayak omar. The source that you quoted that said Chulin Shinasu al Taras Truma was stated in a Lo mi bayak fashion. Now, this we saw on Amud Aleph. So we have a little arrow, a squiggle arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, enabling you to see, to refer back to the to Amud Aleph. Let us correct ourselves. So this arrow will be useful in a moment, not just now. But rather, we did see on Amud Aleph this point of Lo Mibaya Komar on the upper part of the Amud. You'll notice there is a star on the upper part that indicates Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And it's in it's really, we should make a reference to that star by noting the star that we have over here as well for Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. For our same point on Amud Aleph, on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. So let's be clearer in our presentation. On Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, you will notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you will notice a triple star, and that is accompanied by a comment indicating Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, by a note, Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Compare that line with what we have over here, a triple star, also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, pointing to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. And that, at that point, the Gemara said, Lo Mibaya Ko'omar, namely, that when Rabbi Yeshua says, chulin shenasu hataras truma, he's in effect saying, I don't have to tell you about chulin shenasu hataras kodesh, that this would certainly apply. Namely, if one ate shlishi of chulin shenasu hataras kodesh, he certainly would become a sheni with regard to kachim. But even with regard to chulin shenasu hataras hatruma, however, he asks, Rabbi Zera asks, responds to this answer and says, "V'ha afani lo amarti elo b'truma komar." You see, here we need what we've erroneously referred to before, the squiggled arrow. Here we ought to use it. The squiggled arrow drawing your attention to Omid Aleph, where you see at the bottom line this comment of afani lo amarti elo b'truma, where the comment of Rabbi Yeshua of Chulin Shenasu Taras Truma, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, I limited it to Taras Truma, and not like you just said, in a lo mi bayo fashion, that I don't have to tell you about Taras HaKodesh, which it certainly would apply. But that's not what he said. Now, the Gemara responds to that. We just learned, we'll say, Rabbi Zera's Kasha to Rabbi Asi. However, the whole discussion on Omid Aleph was itself not an actual quote of Rabbi Yeshua. It was an Amoraic version of what Rabbi Yeshua might have said. So to that, Rav Asi could respond, Amoroi ninu valibo de Rabbi Yochanan. There is a machlokas Amoroim within Rabbi Yochanan as to what Rabbi Yeshua may have said. On Omid Aleph, we presented to you Rabbo Bar Barchana's version of Rabbi Yochanan. And that you will see very clearly where we had underlined Rabbo Bar Barchana, the upper half of the page, and we circled Rabbi Yochanan. All of the Gemara that followed was his presentation, namely Rabbo Bar Barchana's presentation of Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Tanoim, including Rabbi Yeshua. On this Omid, we have Rav Asi presenting Rabbi Yochanan's version. And in that sense, Rav Asi's version of Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that Rabbi Yeshua will include Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh in addition to, as well as Chulin Shenasu Al Taras Truma, as being subject to becoming a shlishi. Upon eating it, a person would become a sheni with regard to kachim. Omar Ula Ha'oichel Shlishi shel chulin shenasu al taras truma nifsal gufo milechol betruba. Up till now, we have spoken about shlishi of chulin shenasu al taras truma, and we pointed out that he would become a sheni with regard to kachim and not with regard to truma. What does that mean, with regard to kachim and not with regard to truma? That means that as a sheni, he would make something into a shlishi, but that's only a korban. He would not make truma into a shlishi. However, Ula now adds a new dimension to this. True that his contact, if this person who ate the shlishi chulin shenasu hataras truma, true, if he touches truma, he wouldn't ruin it. However, he himself is not allowed to eat truma. That's nifsal gufo. He himself cannot eat truma. The Gemara asks, my komash molon, what is Ula telling me that I couldn't have inferred from the following Tanaic source? The following Tanaic source is actually very familiar. This is possibly the third time that we're making reference to it today. It says, Tanina, we have the following source, shlishi, food that's a shlishi, Shani Lakodesh, it makes the person into a Shani level, it goes up one level. The Ain Shani Latruma, and he is not a Shani with regard to Truma. Bechulin Shinasu Altaras Truma, when he eats this kind of Chulin treated with the Truma standard. Shani Hu Dolo Havi, we can infer from this that he does not become a Shani. Ha Shlishi Have. However, he himself, he would become a shlishi with regard to truma. And as such, it's true that by touching other truma, he would not ruin it. However, as a shlishi, he would not himself be allowed to eat truma. The Gemara responds, if your question is, what do I need Ula for when I could have inferred what he said from the source, I mehahi, had I had just the source, hava mina, I would have thought, lo yisheni havi velo shlishi havi. The person who eats the shlishi food with regard to truma doesn't become a sheni nor a shlishi. The aydi yomar sheni bekodesh, but since the source had to teach that he becomes a sheni level with regard to sacrifices, which itself was a very novel idea, that he goes up a level, omar nami, it said in the source, ein sheni betruma. Since Shani was mentioned with regard to Kodesh, so Shani was mentioned with regard to Truma. But not for the sake of inferring that he would, yes, become a Shlishi with regard to Truma. That's as far as the source is concerned. Komash Malon, therefore Ula, comes to tell me that he does become a Shlishi with regard to Truma. And that means, on a practical level, a person who eats a Shlishi, he himself will thereby will become forbidden in eating Truma. Once again, though a shlishi does not mitama other truma, but he himself will not be allowed to eat truma. Eisvei Rav Hamnuna le'ula. Rav Hamnuna raises an objection to Ula's teaching. Harishon shebechulin tome umetame. Chulin, that's a rishon, is tome, and it could mitama, that means it could mitama some other food to become a sheni. And that sheni could make something else into a shlishi. V'hasheni posel v'eino mitame. A sheni can pasel a shlishi, can pasel, let us say, truma, but it cannot impose any power in the truma to pass it on to something else. V'hashlishi chulin, that's a shlishi. Chulin, the mundane food, that's a shlishi. Nechal b'nezid hadema. That means you could take chulin, that's a shlishi, and mix it with truma spices. You can take, then make, let's say, some type of food item, taking shlishi chulin and mixing it with truma spices, and then eat it. Now, v'i amris nifstal gufo milecho betruma, if you say that by eating chulin, that's a shlishi level, and we know that that chulin, that's a shlishi level, does not mitama other things. But, and it ought to be pointed out also that when we speak about shlishi, we're talking about chulin shenasu al taras truma. This is what Rashi points out. So the shlishi referred to here of chulin is chulin that was nase al taras truma. And the source is telling me, well, you can mix it with truma spices and then go ahead and eat it. But if you say, like Ula taught, v'amris nifsal gufo milecho betruma, that one who eats shlishi of chulin shinasu altaras truma, his guf would become posel, then how in the world, safino le midi de posel le gufe? Safino means, would we feed him something that he is posel in eating? We said that we're talking about truma spices that are mixed into this chulin shlishi. But as soon as he eats the chulin shlishi, he becomes forbidden, according to Ula, in eating truma. And yet this source gives license to eating it. Omar le, Ula answers, don't ask on me from this case of nezid hadema, the spices mixed into the dish. Hanoch menezid hadema. The Gemara at the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, the Leko Kezayis Bechtei Achilas Pras. There is a time frame called Kedei Achilas Pras. Using just a number that we'll pull out of a hat, let's say that it takes 4 minutes to eat a pras. A pras is a half a loaf. Let's say it takes 4 minutes. In the course of eating this food, in the course of 4 minutes of eating this particular dish with the truma spices in it, Ula tells us there are so few spice, there's so little by way of spice in it, that over the course of 4 minutes of eating this dish, you will not consume an olive quantity of truma spices. When that takes place, when you have a situation like that of not able to consume an olive quantity within that time frame, it's considered, as far as we are concerned, as if it's not there. It's as if the truma spices are not there. Therefore, it's true that Ula will tell you, one who eats shlishi of chulin shenasa ataras truma, he is forbidden in eating truma. However, in this case, he's not said to be eating truma, because eating is defined by consuming a kezias within the time frame of achilas pras, which will not be accomplished over here. We are going to continue a little bit down on Lamed Hey Omer Aleph because of the necessity of comparing the next comment, namely that of Rabbi Yonason, who you can see is also double underlined so as to draw your attention to Ula on our previous daf Lamed Dalel Omer Beis. Omer Rabbi Yonason, Omer Rebbe, Ho'echol Shlishi Shel Trumo Atzmo, Osur Lechol Umutur Liga. One who eats actual truma. Here it's different than the case before of chulin shenasu ataras truma. This is truma mamish. This is the actual truma tithe that happened to have been in contact with a sheni level of tuma, making the truma a shlishi. One who eats truma that's a shlishi level, he is osur. He cannot eat any more truma. However, he's allowed to touch truma. But now, if we focus on our markings, we've dashed underlined osur lechol over here, and back when we saw ula, it said we dashed under nifsal gufumi lechol betruma. In effect, these two are saying more or less the same thing, just that ula is talking about chulin shenasa ataras truma, and Rabbi Yonason is talking about truma itself. We call it the real thing, not chulin that's treated as if it were truma, but the real truma. The Gemara now points out the Itzterich de Ula. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Lamed Dalad Omid Beis, with an arrow, a parallel arrow, pointing on Lamed Dalad Omid Beis, indicating Lamed Hey Omid Aleph. There is where Ula was introduced. So the Gemara says, here I need Ula, the Itzterich, the Rabbi Yonason, and I need him as well. In other words, if I had taught just one of these two opinions, I could not have figured out that which the other one says. De'i mita Ula, had I just had Ula's teaching, havi amina, I would have thought, hani mili, when is it that we say that he is prohibited in eating truma? Hani mili bechulin shenasu al taras truma. That is when we would say he is prohibited in eating, but not a problem with regard to touching. He, if he touches truma, he wouldn't have any effect on it. Aval truma, but if one were to eat truma, that's shlishi, truma itself, benegio nami osir, he would be forbidden, or he would ruin through mere touching other truma. Therefore, it's derech to Rabbi Yonason. I need Rabbi Yonason to tell me that that's not the case. That says that, it, that he says that it's the mutter liga. The e mid Rabbi Yonason, had I had just his teaching, have amino hani mili truma, I would have thought that his teaching applies only to truma avol chulin. But one who would eat chulin shenasu ataras truma, which is a lesser severe realm, v'achilo nami shori, it would be mutter for him to even eat truma, because after all, that which he consumed was of a lower level nature. Namely, it was only chulin shenasu ataras truma. Therefore, tzrichi, I need Ula to tell me that in fact he who ate chulin shenasa ataras truma is now forbidden in eating truma. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.